The following is an excerpt from the Science Magazine podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
David Grimm, editor of Science's online daily news site, Science Now, is here with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news, including a story about how babies learn through crying. Dave, what's the story about?
Well, Rob, this story is about how babies learn their native tongue. And researchers already knew that babies sort of get used to their mother language, as it were, even as far back as in the womb. The last 3 months of pregnancy, fetuses' ears are very well developed, and researchers have shown that they are attuned to sounds in their outside environment, including their mother's voice. And then by about 4 months of age, infants begin babbling in their parents' language or languages. So researchers in this study wanted to figure out, is there something that happens in between that time? In other words, even very early on, are babies showing that they have some sense of what their native language is?
And so the researchers looked at crying?
They did. They recorded a lot of baby cries, and they looked specifically at German and French babies in the study, and that may be because the research team was actually based in Germany.
How old were these babies?
The babies were about 2 to 5 days old, and they were just crying spontaneously. No babies were harmed in the making of this study.
Okay. So you brought some sound files with you. I'm guessing these are baby cries.
They are. And listen to this first cry.
Okay.
Now listen to this cry.
Okay, they both sound like crying to me.
Right, they do. But if you listen carefully, you'll notice that the first cry had sort of a rising, what researchers call a rising contour.
Let's hear it again. Okay.
And here's the second one, which has what researchers call a falling contour.
I hear it now. Okay.
Now, what's interesting about the differences between these cries is that French babies tended to make cries with these rising contours, where German babies tended to produce cries with the falling contours. And those contours actually match up very well with the typical melodies that are inherent in these babies' parents' native language.
Okay, let's compare. French?
Mon bébé pleure.
French baby. German.
Mein kleines Kind weint.
German baby. Huh. Are the researchers done here? Are they saying, okay, we've got this? I mean, how often did this happen?
Well, Rob, in this study, researchers only looked at a couple of languages, French and German, and they say, you know, to really figure out if this effect really holds true, if babies really are evincing these sounds of their native languages, they've got to look at a lot more languages. And their next step is actually to look at Chinese and Japanese. And the researchers say they even want to look at hearing-impaired babies to see if their cries differ from other babies' cries.
Okay, so what other stories have you brought with you this week?
Well, Rob, from recognizing language in the baby's cry to pigs that can recognize themselves in a mirror, this next study is all about a complex mental ability which you and I take for granted, which is the ability to see our reflection in the mirror and know that it's us.
How do you tell if an animal can recognize itself in the mirror?
In this study, they took pigs and they put them in a pen with a mirror. And they kept the pigs in there for about 5 hours. And what the pigs did at first is what a lot of animals do when they see a mirror. They sniffed at it. They grunted at their own image. One pig even slammed into the mirror so hard that it broke the glass. These are all indications that the animal thinks it's seeing another animal in the mirror. In this case, another pig. They're not seeing themselves. And this is a common mistake a lot of animals make. So at first, the researchers were like, well, looks like pigs can't recognize themselves in the mirror. But over the course of the 5 hours, the researchers noticed something interesting. It looked like the pigs were starting to recognize themselves in the mirror. They were starting to understand what the mirror was. And to test that out, the researchers gave the pigs another test. This time, they put a bowl of food in the pen, but the food was only visible if the pig looked at the mirror because it was hidden behind this barrier. So the pig could only see the food if it stared directly at the mirror. And if it could actually understand what the mirror's purpose was, then it would know the food wasn't actually in the mirror. It was, say, behind them. And that's exactly what the pigs did. And I think about less than 25 seconds, most of the pigs in the experiment were able to correctly identify where the food bowl was and go straight towards it and start eating.
So they looked behind them for the food.
They did. One pig wasn't so bright, it actually looked behind the mirror for the food, which is actually what you would expect if a species doesn't really understand the purpose of the mirror. But in this study, the vast majority of the pigs knew where the food bowl was.
What's it mean? What's it really say anyway, if a pig can recognize itself in a mirror? What's that matter?
Well, first of all, puts the pig in a very elite group of animals that include humans, some other primates, some parrots, and even elephants and dolphins. But it's not a very big group. And researchers see this as evidence for actually sophisticated intelligence because it shows self-awareness. It shows that pigs can sort of understand that they are, for all intents and purposes, by being able to recognize themselves in a mirror. And it just goes to show what a lot of people have said in the past, that pigs are actually very intelligent creatures.
Okay. So last story, what's this last one about?
Well, Rob, from complex thought processes in pigs to how complex thoughts might be contagious in people.
How so?
Well, Rob, this last story is about bad decisions. And researchers wanted to know, if you see somebody else making a bad decision, might that influence you to make the same bad decision? And this goes back to a field of research that shows that emotional states can actually be contagious. So, example, if you watch somebody cry, chances are you'll start to feel sad, even though maybe you have nothing to be sad about.
A measure of empathy.
Exactly. And so for this study, researchers wanted to see, does the same hold true for bad decisions? If you see somebody making a bad decision, might you start making the same bad decision? What they did was the researchers recruited a lot of undergraduate students, and they had the students look at a computer and watch what they thought was a text interaction between two individuals bidding on an object. And what they were told was it was each of these individuals had, you know, about 300 points that they had to bid with. And what would happen on the computer is the students would see one person bid 40 points and the next person up that bid by another 40 points, and this original person up his bid by another 40 points, and it kept on going like that.
They're trying to win something.
They were trying to win a prize, which the students were told was worth about $5 in real money. And what the students were also told was that if this person, if this original bettor, if this first bettor went over his allotted amount of points, he was actually going to start to lose real money. They told the volunteers, you know, we paid this guy $12 in real money for this study, and if he goes over his 360 points or whatever it was, he's going to start to lose some of that $12 we're going to pay them. So objectively, what the students were seeing was they were seeing, you know, one of these bidders basically keep on upping his bid and getting really dangerously close to this point where he was actually going to start to lose real money.
But it's just text on a screen. Why would the students who are observing this care?
Well, the researchers threw in another layer. And what they did was they had some of the students identify with one of the bidders. They basically said, you know, this bidder, you know, was born in the same month that you were born in, or this bidder is in the same year of school that you're in. Some little detail that would make the students sort of potentially empathize with the bidder. And then what the researchers did was they waited till the bidder got really close to that point where he was going to start to lose real money. And then they had the student take over for the bidder. They said, okay, now you take the rest of this bidder's points and you start bidding on this object. And what they found is that the students that empathized more with these bidders tended to adopt the same bidding patterns. They were always trying to match the other person's bid, and they eventually were significantly more likely to place these high bids and to lose money than the volunteers that didn't seem to have anything in common with the original bidder and say, hey, I'm starting to lose money here. I'm going to stop bidding right now.
So they replicated the bad decisions if they empathized.
Exactly.
Are the researchers willing to extrapolate out from beyond this experiment what it might mean for society?
Well, they cite a really interesting recent example, which is when the Ford Motor Company was having all these financial difficulties and had to go through this massive restructuring. What they did was, instead of hiring somebody from within to take over this big effort, they actually hired somebody from Boeing, an aerospace company, to come in. And the researchers say Ford did a lot better with its restructuring than rival company General Motors did, who ended up hiring somebody from within. And what they're saying is that really the lesson to learn here is that feel like you're somebody that's making bad decisions, whether you're one of these big companies or whether you're somebody investing in a house that maybe is not going to pay off down the line. It's a really good idea to bring in somebody who's not only objective, but really somebody who really has nothing in common with you at all. Because even if you think you're bringing in somebody objective, if they start to empathize with you on a certain level, or if they feel like they have something in common with you, then they're going to start throwing good money after bad, just like you've been doing.
Hey, Dave, you want to come over and take a look at my house?
Rob, I think I know you a little too well to be objective.
Well, thanks, Dave.
You got it, Rob.
So what other stories are you looking into for Science Now or on the policy blog, Science Insider?
Well, Rob, for Science Now, we're looking into a story about how you may be able to improve your foreign language skills by staring at movie subtitles, and also about how neurons make new memories. And for the science policy blog, Science Insider, we've got a story that deals with a new movie called The Men Who Stare at Goats, which is ostensibly based on a secret government program. And we've got some details about that program on Insider. So be sure to check out all of these stories on the site.
David Grimm is the editor of Science Now, the online daily news site of science. You can check out the latest science news, plus find a link to the science policy blog, Science Insider, at sciencenow.sciencemag.org.